Hello, hello. I've been wanting to dive in with you guys, give you all the updates, share the insights. And today's just going to be a very brief, like, hey, I'm back. I'm ready to start doing podcasting again consistently and some of the things that's been on my mind. One of the things that I just want to bring up as I've been kind of going through, a lot of changes in my relationship, which is weird because I've been in the same relationship for 2 years, but so much has just come up, and you've probably heard previous episodes where of me going through my heart awakening, as well as like what it's like getting into a healthy relationship after you've been through so many toxic relationships. Now, going through this healthy relationship that feels very stable, secure, like I can be myself. It's so interesting what the mind wants to do when it's in a position of being so addicted to the rush of dopamine from those toxic relationships. Like, I have found myself just wanting to fight at times just because. And it's still that residue from those toxic relationships of those dynamics, those power dynamics, and feeling like, oh, I need to still fight. Like, they're, it's so funny though, because there's no charge behind it. And it feels very empty versus before, when I would be in these toxic relationships, there would be such a charge. And now I can feel that it's actually, there's no charge. And it's really just something from the past, like needing to resolve itself, almost to say like, hey, is this a dynamic that you want to bring forward in your relationship? Because this is one that kind of got dropped into you and is more sticky. That's how it feels. It's more sticky. It's this residue. And what I've been really like diving into is, you know, what is this difference between soulmates and karmic partners? Now, what's interesting is like, okay, one, soulmates are definitely like karmic in the sense of you guys have this karma to like reunite in this lifetime. And obviously soulmates don't have to be romantic. They can be a pet. They can be a friendship. They can be even like a relationship that happens in 1 hour, like someone you meet on the street that gives you like, oh, wait, okay, hold on. No, that would be more karmic. Okay, hold on. Okay, I'm probably confusing you. Anyways, so soulmates can be anyone, right? But karmic partners are really those relationships that either resolve something from a past life, and past life doesn't have to mean that it was in a previous incarnation. It could mean your past life from when you were a younger kid, and let's say you struggled with one parent, and now you're kind of meeting partners that are trying to resolve the karma through that parent. And so as you're meeting these karmic partners, it's actually like healing a deeper wound that you downloaded from your parent, and then obviously having to go back into that inner child or even heal that parent dynamic, whatever is placeholding for that. But what I've really realized when it comes to soulmates and karmic partners, I'm like, okay, what is like the key distinction here in the energetics that I've been feeling after now going through both, right? And so the key energetic that I noticed is that karmic partners are really initiators. And so they really initiate you onto your path. And when it comes to soulmates, they're really the anchors. It doesn't mean that they can't challenge you, that they can't grow or things like that, but they're more like the anchor. They're more of like the safe space where then you can grow, and then you, it's more like this building energy, where when it comes to karmic partners, it's like these threads. And when you finally like cut these threads, you heal them, you pull them out of yourself. It like initiates you forward and it clears up all of this space within you to bring forward more of this fullness, this wholeness of you. And it's interesting because soulmates bring out this wholeness and fullness of you in a different way, whereas soulmates really give you this like warmth, this security to feel like, I will say in my first like healthy partnership where I'm like, this is like a soulmate relationship, I could truly 100% be myself and actually feel seen, and not one aspect of me felt rejected or like I need to hide, or it wasn't coming from a place of wounding. Whereas in a karmic partner, it's always this power dynamic. It's always trying to, it's like this push and pull. And it's like this power dynamic of either you're giving, 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 giving so much and you're not receiving, or it's just like this interesting power dynamic that happens. And so with that stickiness of those karmic partners, like we can really close out major chapters as we let go of karmic partners after we say like, this is not a program I am going to hold anymore. This is not a conditioning that is relevant to me anymore. I have cellularly detoxed this out of my system and I've learned the lesson and I've moved on from this. There can still be that residual energy that you bring in a healthy relationship, and bless my patient partner, but he'll even call me out and say like, look, this seems like it's coming from your past. And one thing that I've really had to work on is trust, because with those karmic partners, I trusted so much and I was burned, I was betrayed, I felt abandoned. And those wounds like run deep. Even though I know I'm in a safe relationship now, even though I know my partner would never cheat on me, never treat me the way those guys did, there is still that, like I said, it's empty though. There's no charge, there's no fuel behind it. It's just like this program that runs, because there is such a wound. And what happens is when you get into this healthy relationship, the walls begin to almost dissolve. But there's still these hurdles. It's like the walls become these little hurdles that you still have to kind of jump over until it kind of gets into a more even ground. But what happens with these healthy relationships is it begins to soothe your nervous system enough to know that you're in a safe place. You can trust this person. And what it teaches you is, because you create so much space away from these karmic partners, you are able to see those power dynamics that got you into those relationships in the first place. And it's really what it came down to is me not picking people who I knew were healthy for me. Because that's the thing, like back when I would always see the good in people, back when I always wanted to give people the benefit of the doubt or the chance, and I'm not saying that those are things that you shouldn't do, but you also have to have that level of discernment that says, hey, this person, I can see the good in them, you know, I can see these great things about them, but they're not right for me. They're not correct for me. Either my nervous system doesn't feel good around them, or maybe our lifestyles don't match, and so that's going to create some tension. Things like that. It's like being able to really discern, you know, if your values aren't the same, like they could be a great person, but if your values aren't the same, you guys are going to fight like cats and dogs. And so I noticed that my picker, and definitely wounds and trauma had part in this. I definitely had a part in this because I was attracting partners based on my wounds, based on my traumas, based on the relationship I had with my parents and trying to compensate for that. And so very clearly I see that, and very clearly I now know. Now it's like a patterning that I can recognize when I meet someone. And you know when you know someone's not good for you, but it feels good. Like there's that, I want to call it the toxic spark, you know, that toxic spark. Because there's the genuine spark where it's like, spark is just chemistry, right? But there's that toxic spark where it's like, a wound to a wound, there's a resonance and it creates a spark. Like the resonance to the wound is so strong, it creates a spark. And that's the spark that I was mistaking for, oh, this is the person that I should be with. When in reality, I would always have this intuitive like, doubt. I would always question. And then it just became during the whole relationship, me feeling that doubt and me trying to get validation for that doubt. I was constantly trying to find ways to get that doubt validated. Like, do you love me? And it became like, and that's not cute. Like, you know, constantly asking for your needs to be met. And especially when if you're someone who doesn't know how to do so in a healthy way and you have the tools to communicate that in a healthy way, you're going to manipulate a way to get your needs met. And that's really what I was doing, because I didn't understand, nor did I have the tools, nor did I have the resources at that time. I was not conscious. I was not aware. I was manipulating men to get my needs met. And because we had that toxic spark and I like was running with it, I'm like, how far can this stretch? And I was literally clinging. I'm a Cancer. I was literally clinging till there was nothing. You know, it's like a dog with its bone. Like, I'm not going to let go of this. I'm going to be the ride or die. I'm going to see this through. And they would just pretty much leave me at the door. That was the pattern for me. And it sounds so bad saying it out loud, but that was the truth. And like now being in this healthy relationship, you know, it's very interesting because the mind will try to project like, oh, if there's not that, because a toxic spark, it feels damn good, but you know, it ain't good. And the mind can project like, oh, if I'm not feeling that crazy spark, like then, you know what, like this isn't the right person for me. And I'm not saying that there shouldn't be a spark, because there's the regular spark of chemistry and there's the toxic spark. Now, it's been interesting though to see, because, you know, there's a big part of me that asks like, okay, what if it would have all been different? Like, was I supposed to meet these people though? Was I supposed to fuck up my life that bad? You know, to date men that bad? And yes and no, you know, because we have our choices and we can choose to get into relationships with these people. And sometimes it's, you know, I do feel like there is this, you know, free choice, and then there's fate as well. And so I really get into this like inquisitive, curious state of like, how much of these were fate and how much of these were just, you know, Michelle, you could have used your discernment a little bit better. But that's the thing. They woke me up. I will say that my relationships are what have initiated me and woke me up. My karmic partners are what initiated me into awakening, into my empowerment. That guy where I said, I will never let anyone treat me like that ever again, woke me up. And it was rough because I had put so many walls up. I had, even though I told myself and promised myself that I would never close my heart, it almost like out of spite, out of saying, I will never be treated this way again. I will never be put in this situation again. I will never be in this mindset again. Yeah, there was a closing, and it had to be that way for a second, because I had been so used to being so open to the wrong people that I had to close up and really sit with myself and say, what people am I inviting into my home? Like, I need to close the door for a second. I need to sit inside my house and I need to decide. First, I need to put an alarm system. I have to set my home up where, you know, you got to knock and I got to decide, is this someone I want to let in? And it's not saying that, you know, I'm closing the door to everyone, but for a moment in time, that's what I needed to do before I could choose the people that were correct for me. Because it is, when you have those wounds and those traumas, you know, you get to a point where you're saying, like, what part am I allowing? And I'm not talking about, you know, those heavier and deeper things, but I'm talking about, like, the dynamics of, like, what part of me is even being attracted to these kinds of people and what parts of them can I distill out? Okay, maybe they're charismatic, you know, maybe they're really good at talking to people, maybe they're a leader, but then there's these really dark and shadowy and heavy and power dynamics that are just, like, very toxic for me. Or maybe what they revolve their life around or their lifestyle or their values, that's what's not aligning for me. And so really taking a deeper dive, and just what I realized mainly was that I was letting them overstay their welcome, right? Like, I could have been done with that lesson, like, years ago or months ago. Like, relationships that lasted 3 years really should have only lasted 8 months. Relationships that lasted a year really could have lasted only like 6 months. But the thing is, I was wanting to control and wanting to hope that things would change. That was the thing. I was wanting to hope that things would change. And it was mainly me having so much faith in someone that, you know, having so much faith, and, you know, we hear it all the time, like, we girls are not these rehabilitation centers for messed up men, right? We aren't. And it's like, we can learn lessons about, you know, what our boundaries are and the level of treatment we deserve and really finding our own empowerment. But to find someone on your level and, yeah, that's the journey. And someone that you can really grow with, because there's people that you definitely can outgrow. And when you find someone that's willing to have the same standard, the same values, the same lifestyle, not saying that everything has to be the same or, you know, that you guys have to be the exactly same person, but overall, you know, that you guys have these pillars, and at the, you know, always the respect, right? And the ability to just be yourself around this person 100%. If this is your partner, no matter if it's for life, for a season, whatever, however long it is, that person that you consider your partner for this next year, this next 10 years, you need to be able to be who you are 100%. And that is, like, it's funny how much I would, and I keep saying it's funny, but it's not really funny. It's interesting how I only was really asking for the bare minimum in my past relationships, you know, asking for someone to communicate, to treat me with respect, all, and excuse me, to love me, to care for me, to, you know, just the foundational things. That's just the foundation. That's not what the, you know, So, yeah, I'm just kind of riffing here based on, you know, reflecting on the initiators in my life that have initiated me into my empowerment. And, you know, one of my initiators, my toxic exes, who was my best friend for many years, after I had gotten to a place of such empowerment and feeling strong in myself, and this was the partner where I was like, I am never giving myself back to you because I lost myself when I was with you. And when it was a big test, you know, he was like, I want to live together and get a home. And, you know, I'm really grown up and, you know, we've had the space away from each other and you're the person for me and blah, blah, blah. And one thing that I really noticed is whenever we would hang out, he'd always say, yeah, you've always been like that. Or remember how, like, he'd always bring up my past self and he'd always try to bring me back to that place. And I would tell him, like, hey, you know, I'm not that, you know, I don't like that anymore. Or I'm not that person anymore. Or, like, I don't really want to talk about the past or I don't want to really bring that up. And it was like he was trying to anchor me back into that place. And it was very interesting because I could see that if I would have allowed him back into my life, like I'm strong enough to say, no, do not come into my house. This is, you know, we can hang out outside, but no, you're not allowed to come in anymore. But the minute you let someone into your home, there's something that happens chemically, cellularly, like, As much as we are in our power, I believe that there's certain dynamics that are brought out being around certain people. Like, certain people, you're like, you were the one that brought out the crazy in me. You know, like, no other person ever saw that side of me. I have never been that person with anyone else, but for some reason with that person, they bring out the crazy in me. They bring out this side of me. And those are the people that, like, unless we've both grown into a space of really have done the work and are able to monitor those dynamics come up and move through them consciously, that takes a lot of awareness. And for two people to hold that, it has to be both people. It can't just be one. It has to be both. And so I knew that if I were to let him back into my life, I would have to be so aware, and I knew he wasn't willing to meet me there. And so obviously close that chapter. And the thing is, it felt kind of depressing, you know? So anyways, didn't want to end on the depressing note. But coming back to the karmic partners as the initiators, you know, sometimes the things we go through, we're like, damn, that was hard. Damn, that was shattering. Damn, that was my rock bottom. And it was also, and not ever saying that we need to put ourselves in those places. You know, we don't need to hit a rock bottom in order to awaken to our power. We can do so before we feel bankrupt. You know, we can reach wealth. We don't have to get bankrupt in order to reach wealth. We can start building from where we are now. And I really love the idea of soulmates really being the anchors. They really anchor us more into our bodies and more into our nervous system and allow us that space to really move forward and feel supported and know that, you know, soulmates, they don't have to be a lifetime, but we don't have to stay with a soulmate forever, but they carry such a deep reverence in our hearts. And I'm really grateful for all of the soulmates and all of the karmic partners, you know. And okay, I want to make a distinction here before I hop off, is that karmic partners also do not have to be toxic. You know, there are different categories of karmic partners. There are karmic people that come into our life that just shoot us on our trajectory. Like, let's say we're in the grocery store and we overhear something from a stranger and they tell us, oh, you know, I know you, I don't know if you've ever heard of this person, but have you heard of Joe Dispenza? And you're just like, who? And you have all these health issues and you look up Joe Dispenza and then it ends up being the answer to your health issue or something like that. Like, that can be a karmic situation where in that moment someone meets you and it changes your trajectory. And so I don't think it always has to be toxic. Like I said, it's just these initiators, these trajectory shifters, and they're very powerful players. And sometimes their role is the villain. Sometimes they are the toxic ones. But yeah, so that's my little share for my coming back. And yeah, let me know what you guys think. About soulmates being the anchors, karmic partners being the initiators. And till next time.